Hi, I'm Marion McPartland. My guest today is Sherry Maracle. She's a woman of many talents, a drummer, educator, and writer. She brings all of this together as the leader of Diva, the most brilliant all-girl orchestra anywhere in the world.
Hi, Marion. Great to see you.
You too. It's been a long time.
I know. I've been such a fan of yours for so many years, and I'm so thrilled to be here. Very honored.
Well, of course, I'm dying to hear some music, so whenever you can get that together.
Okay, well, we're dying to play some. So how about if we play my favorite, one of my all-time favorite grooves is a shuffle. So I love to kick things off with that. So how about if we play The Groove Merchant for you by Jerome Richardson?
I'd love to hear it.
Okay.
Boy, that's a wonderful tune to start off with.
That makes me happy. A shuffle.
Yeah, it's good.
When I was when I first moved to New York in 1985, my teacher was Mel Lewis, and one of the greatest shuffles in the history of drumming came from Mel Lewis. So it always made me so happy to hear that band play that tune.
And, yeah.
I thought in such a situation like this, I wanted to start off happy.
Well, when you were studying with Mel Lewis, was that before you had the band?
Yeah, before, well before the Diva Jazz Orchestra. I was at New York University, and I thought, Mel Lewis is on the faculty. This is amazing, because he was one of my idols, and that band is, one of the greatest bands ever in the history of music. And
you mean Thad and...
Oh, Thad and Mel,
Thad
yeah.
and Mel, yeah.
And all the transformations into the Mel Lewis Jazz Orchestra, then now, of course, the Vanguard Jazz Orchestra. But my lessons with Mel were so interesting, because sometimes we'd be in his apartment, and he never had a stick or a pad or a drum or a cymbal, nothing. It was all just, it would bring in some music, and he would listen to it. And occasionally, I actually played the third set with his band at the Vanguard. That was terrifying, truthfully.
It must have been fun, though.
It was fun. You can imagine such an icon like him in that band and in the Vanguard. And Sherry, go back there and play the third set. And I was like, you're kidding me. And then that would be. And he would stand in the audience and say things like, play louder, I don't like your fill, or, something good, something. And the audience must have been, horrified listening to that. My drum lesson at the Vanguard. But nonetheless, that was amazing.
So how long have you actually had the band?
The band was came into the brain of our founder, Stanley Kay, probably in 1990, when he heard me playing just at the 75th anniversary of the Schubert Theater in New Haven, Connecticut. He was conducting for Maurice Hines, and he liked the way I played. So, which was, once he finally approached me about this in 1992, I was very excited, because he was the former manager of the Buddy Rich Band and associate drummer with Buddy.
Buddy, what was that band, The Killer Force?
The Killer Force. When he said, I like the way you play, obviously, I was like, really? Somebody that played with Buddy Rich and managed Buddy Rich likes the way I play? I was, and he's a very serious, a serious person in the music business. So in 1992, he called me and asked if I knew women that could, I'll quote him humbly. He said, that play as well as you do. And I said, yes. So we had an audition. About 40 people came to the original audition back in 1992.
All instruments.
Yeah.
Different instruments.
Yeah, we have, Diva is 5 saxophones, 3 trombones, 4 trumpets, and piano, bass, and drums. Our first concert was in March as part of Women's History Month at New York University, March 30th, 1993.
And was Stanley, did he sort of take charge?
Yeah, Stanley was our guiding force, and still to this day is our... we'll call him our grand, high, exalted, mystic ruler and guru of Diva. And he's very creative. He comes up with a lot of great arrangements for us as well.
That's great to have.
Yeah.
You got everything going for you.
Yeah, it's all really positive. Certainly positive in the musical regard. It's been a lot of times I was very resistant to all women things, because sometimes historically you've noticed that thing... things were not always focused on the music with women's groups, like Let's See How You Look, or Wear This Dress, or Show Your Cleavage, or Put on Lipstick.
Right.
I'm sure you lived through much of that yourself. And it was all just, something that I wasn't interested in. But with Stanley, he was deadly serious, and it was all about the music. So I was like, this would be great, a great opportunity.
Well, I love talking to you, but I also love to hear some music. How about another tune?
Okay. This we say this is the theme song of the rhythm section of Tomoko and Noriko and I. And this is, we went into jazz, so we need to ask ourselves, what would happen if I only had a brain? So here we go from The Wizard of Oz. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1.
Wow.
Hey, that's the best compliment I've ever had. Thank you.
That tune, I wouldn't have thought of it as being such a tour de force, but it turned out to be. Who did that arrangement?
I kind of came up with the idea, then we worked on it together, and like trios do, and sort of just evolved into that, into what you heard.
Oh, so that wasn't with the big band?
No, this is actually just, we always just do this as a trio. So usually if we're playing with our small group five play, we always do a couple of trio numbers, and that's always one of them. People come to expect that from us because they, you know, it's kind of catchy and everyone knows the tune. I like both Noriko and Tomoko, their rhythmic sense and the way they displace phrases and cross the bar lines and do different things. That just makes it's really fun to play with.
I can imagine they are. Well, we'll have more in a minute with Sherry Maracle and these wonderful ladies from the Diva Jazz Orchestra. Our program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts, which believes that a great nation deserves great art. I'm Marian McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. What's the next tune? I would love to hear another tune.
Okay, well, we're going to play My Favorite Things for you, also with a different twist on it. Not that we're all incredibly influenced by Julie Andrews, but we're going to... I heard this, and Maureen McGovern sing this in this style, and Lee Musiker actually arranged this tune.
Really?
At not... Yeah, I heard this arrangement with Maureen, and I'm also the drummer and percussionist with the New York Pops Orchestra, which you know with Skitch Henderson's orchestra that he founded years ago. And so we were playing, and we played this, My Favorite Things, with sort of an even eighth note feel, and I really, really liked it, so I always wanted to try it. So we started playing it, and that's what you're going to hear right now.
Good. I'm looking forward to it. I like your arrangement very much.
Thanks. Typically, it's done of the traditional, you know, Sound of Music way, but to do it with an even eighth note feel, kind of samba-esque, is a sort of a different treatment of that. It's fun.
Well, it sounds a lot different from the one that John Coltrane did. So
yeah, I would never even attempt to pretend to play like Elvin Jones. So, you know, I had to find some different way to do it.
Well, mm-hmm. You did. And after all that wonderful stuff that you guys did, how about if I play one with the rhythm section?
That'd be great. I played with you, Mary and I. The first time we played together, I was in college, and you were the guest soloist with my college band at the State University in Binghamton, New York. And that was fun. And then of course, you've played with Diva.
Played with the band.
Yeah.
That was fun, too.
But I've never played trio with you, so I'm really excited. A little bit nervous. You're a goddess.
Oh.
Can't wait to play with you. What are we going to play?
How about a tune by Duke Ellington, Squeeze Me?
Oh, awesome. Thank you. Wow, Marion, that was so much fun. I love what a great groove. And that was really a dream come true for me to play with you.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. I enjoyed it myself. It was such a nice swinging couple of people.
Mm-hmm. But you have always, in listening to your trio for so long, you have that just beautiful swinging, like seamless groove and touch, and it was so much fun to play with you.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for the honor.
Likewise. With you too.
And then I got to give you a squeeze at the end to seal the deal on the song.
Well, we'll have more music in just a minute. Sherry Maracle is my guest. You can find artist information, set lists, and more on our website, pianojazz.npr.org. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. So how often do you get together and rehearse with the big band?
We don't rehearse unless we have new music. And since the inception of the band, we've commissioned every single chart that we've ever played, which is fabulous, you know, and in line with Stanley's vision and my own, we wanted to make sure that we developed a unique sound and repertoire for the group. In original compositions and arrangements. So basically, whenever we get about 5 or 6 new charts we haven't played, we call a rehearsal and play through them and are grateful we can sight read and then try it out on the next gig.
Yeah, boy, that's something I never could do. In fact, I auditioned for a band in England God knows how many years ago. I don't think you would ever have heard of her. Ivy Benson.
I've heard the name, but I'm not familiar with the music.
Well, nor I. I auditioned for her and I didn't make it. So I'm really glad I didn't.
There you go. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. Reading is an acquired skill, but so many of the icons of jazz, like yourself included, I mean, it's not a necessary requirement. Buddy Rich. And I have it from the horse's mouth from Stanley Kay. So
that's incredible.
But what a phenomenal player! And that makes you use your ears more. I think that's can be a problem sometimes if your head's always in the music and the music's not in your head. So you know.
Well, I want to hear more music in my head
from
you.
Okay, Stanley Kay is very good at that, like taking novelty tunes or taking tunes that are typically not done in a jazz way and putting different twists on them. And I thought, what would be a really fun thing to do that's really associated with drums, besides like Sing 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 and some of those iconic tunes. So I thought, Cute's a good tune. And I was I wanted to do it in a duet with Noriko Ueda. So we kind of displaced the beat a little bit and put some percussive sounds in it, and we're gonna give Cute a shot.
Is that a Neil Hefti tune?
Yeah, Neil Hefti, but he won't recognize it. Okay.
Well, I'm looking forward to this. We'll be right back. That's a pretty wild version of that tune.
Yeah, I really enjoyed doing that, but don't know quite how cute it was, but let's say it's cute with a bad case of acne or something. I don't know.
I'm sort of thinking, was thinking of somebody standing out front or doing a weird dance to that.
Oh, yeah, definitely could be like some whirling dervishes going on.
Yeah, and doing the splits and hanging from a curtain, things like that.
Oh, I like that.
You like that?
Sure, hanging from a curtain or a chandelier. I've done it all.
Yeah. You have?
Yeah.
And not only that, you played clarinet and other instruments?
I did when I was wow, you did some good research. When I was a kid, in fourth grade, the instrument that I chose that I wanted to play was the trumpet, and the teacher said that girls didn't play the trumpet. So he forced me to play a metal clarinet. That was my entree into the music world. And I didn't like that too long. And my teacher suffered through about 3 years of me trying to play the cello. And then when I was in about sixth grade, the band needed somebody to play the bass drum. And I leapt up to volunteer. I said, really? I get to hit something? That's great. So I went back there and did that. And then shortly after that, one of my teachers, as we were discussing Buddy Rich and his Killer Force before, took me to see Buddy Rich and his Killer Force at the Forum in Binghamton, New York. And when I saw that band, I flipped out. I never saw or heard anything like that. And that made me, I was 12, and that made me want to play the drums. And that's why I play the drums. That's why I love big band.
And your parents went along with that?
No. I think they thought it was just some phase I would grow out of, you know, even all the way through college. But I think when I got paid more money for my first gig than I ever got working as a cashier in a supermarket for a week, I think they were impressed. And it was $50. So
that got you started.
Yeah. How much did your first gig pay, Marion?
Gee, I don't know, about £5.
£5.
Or something like that. I remember my father was so agitated about my going with this guy, Billy Mayall. I played four piano act in vaudeville. And he was so worried about my doing such a thing. He came up and interviewed the guy and wanted to know what money I was going to get. And I think he did a pretty bad deal if all I got was £5.
That's not too good. But I actually, along those lines, find it really humorous that today it's still, I mean, that gig I had was with a group called Bob Grover in the Tune Twisters. It was at an Elks Club or something. And it's still today, people pay $50. I'm like, that was 30 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
How come jazz musicians' salaries never go up with the cost
Nothing
of inflation?
Nothing has changed.
I know.
Yeah. Oh, boy. But I would like to play another tune. Is that okay?
Yeah, fantastic.
I mean, having two such excellent players, I should utilize you girls, not play a solo.
Okay.
So I'll do Lady Bird.
All right.
Thank you.
It's really fun playing with you girls.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting me.
That was great. I'm sorry. I was a little bit speechless and breathless from, you know, did you ever have that experience like you've given to so many people when you have people on your show just to be able to play with you? You're a legend.
Well, thank you.
Really, thank you, Marion, so much.
Well, there's more to come with Sherry Miracle and her Jazz Divas. Our program is made possible in part by the Friends of Piano Jazz and is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. I'm Marion McPartland, and this is Piano Jazz from NPR. What's your pick for the next tune?
Well, I wanted to. This has a little bit of a story to it because as much as I love playing the drums, as I got older and started writing, I was a little bit frustrated in my percussive limitations of not being able to create melody, and I was getting jealous of all my trio mates and how they have the opportunity for such beautiful melody and harmony. And I know drummers can do it in their own way, but I wanted to try to play the sort of play the melody on something. I mean, there's many great drummers that do that, like Jeff Hamilton, who is an idol of mine. So I thought, what's going to be a really simple melody besides one note samba or something? So I thought, I want to be happy, because I certainly do, and I am today, really happy being with you. So I'm going to do my best to play the drum melody version of I Want to Be Happy, and then we'll see what Noriko and Tomoko bring to it.
Shall we all sing in the background?
As long as it's happy singing.
Well, I think that was a very neat idea. And you do sort of get the melody.
All right. Thank you. I take that as a big compliment. It's a good song, and it's a good message. And it's a
everyone
wants it.
It is a good message.
And I just want to say again, you did make me really, really happy today. It's great to be here. Great.
It's great to have you.
Thank you.
And we're not done yet because you're going to really wail on Caravan, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to. I love playing this tune, and of course, there's so many great versions of it, but I was really, really inspired by Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers.
Really?
Version of this tune that's kind of in a, starts out in an Afro-Cuban kind of a 6-8 feel.
Well, I'm looking forward to this. so glad you picked Caravan. That's a great way to end the show.
And thank you so much for having us.
My pleasure, believe me.
You've been listening to Piano Jazz with host Marianne McPartland. Our guest today has been Sherry Maracle. Join us each week at this time as Piano Jazz brings you other outstanding artists for an hour of conversation and improvisation. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV Radio. The producer is Sherry Hutchinson. Recording engineer, Duke Marcos. Assistant recording engineer, Sam Gianelli. Mastering engineer, David Mitchell. Engineering intern, Dale Anderson. Production coordinator, David Lyon. Executive producer, Elaine Freeman. We love to hear from you. Our email address is pj@scetv.org. Our postal address is ETV Radio, 1041 George Rogers Boulevard, Columbia, South Carolina, 29201. You can learn more about the artists and music selections on Piano Jazz and find the link to our free weekly preview podcast, Piano Jazz Shorts, on our website, pianojazz.npr.org. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, ArtWorks, and from the Friends of Piano Jazz, and from Jazz Times Magazine, since 1970 helping jazz fans get to know the music they love, at newsstands everywhere, and on the web at jazztimes.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and NPR. Contributors include the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives, at gatesfoundation.org, and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. This is NPR.